Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's up, guys? Alex Contreras on the mic alongside Red El Rojo Garcia. Welcome back to another episode of Marlins Barbecue. First and foremost, thanks so much for the support shown across all social media platforms, most notably on Twitter, where you can catch my personal opinions alongside Rojo. You can also check him out on Twitter and most exclusively on TikTok. A lot of feel-good Marlins moments on TikTok. Check that out. Red, how was your weekend?
Hey, what's up, Alex? It was good, man. Got to spend some time with the family, which is important. And do research for the show. What else is there to do when you're locked down, right?
Yeah, you can have a nice Marlins lager and relax.
Yeah, man. Speaking of Marlins lager, guys, the news over the weekend was they announced more locations. Check out their website. There was way too many for us to start naming them all. But it's pretty much, they're fully, you know, out. You could grab one at Publix, Milam's, Target has them, and some liquor stores along the way. So definitely check that out. Alex, without further ado here, brother, let's jump right in to the episode 3. We made it. Over the weekend, Fish Stripes put out a Twitter poll here, the first one that we're going to talk about. And it was basically, who do you see as the Marlins starting center fielder come opening day? The options were Harrison, Villar, and other. Harrison won with a whomping 60% of votes. Villar got 36, and 4% of you guys voted other. Do you agree with that, Alex? What do you think? I personally don't agree with it. I think the fans did a little bit of a fan service here, but where are you at with that one?
Well, man, you know, I'm first and foremost, I'm convinced that Marlins office, somebody, Marlins media, they definitely check out our work at fishstripe.com alongside the audience, because there's some great Marlins exclusive stuff, exclusive content that you can go and check out, some fun stuff. I think the fans finally caught on to the hype. South Florida's finally catching on to the hype. You know, I think we needed to wait for a Don Mattingly to say something about Monte Harrison. Right? He said he's going to be a fun athlete that South Florida's going to love. And I really, you know, I can't agree more with Don Mattingly, you know. But the harsh truth is, man, there's so many outfield options right now for the Miami Marlins that it was going to be hard for me to see Monte start. Yeah, I would love to see him start. Everybody would love to see him start. And this doesn't have anything to do with service time, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't have anything to do with that. This isn't the Loria regime. They're not trying to do Monte dirty, how the old regime did dirty Marcelo Ozuna, trying to control his service time. It's not about that. It's a short season, and the idea is, like Gary Cooper said, you got to have flame under your ass right out the gate.
You know, I take each day as what it is. It's, you know, you come in and do your work. You know, you go through the ups and downs of a season, but this is a little different. So I think you got to come out with, you know, a fire under your ass just to every single day, because there's no ups. You can't have a lot of downs during the season, because if you start off slow, it's tough to recover. So I think everybody's a little more on edge this year.
I like what you said there, but here's my counter argument, and I think a lot of people agree. Monte's not a 21-year-old prospect. He is 25. It's time. I believe it's time for him to be up here if he deserves it. I don't like the idea of him being the fourth outfielder, you know, getting an at-bat, what, once every other game, once every two games, late inning at-bats. Don't get me wrong, I would love to see him hitting in the bottom of the ninth, you know, bases loaded, but, I mean, you can't predict that. So I'd rather him being out there every day. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. The second poll, which we had out, was you put it out, actually, the which Marlins jersey to buy. What were the results on that? Were you surprised? Who won? What's going on that one?
Oh, man. I put that out, and I just tweeted it out. First names that came to my mind were Brian Anderson, Sandy Alcantara, Mickey Rowe, and then I put in other, because Twitter only lets you put in a certain amount of guys to vote for. And, man, I was surprised. There was a little bit of everything. Like, here, I'm going to mention out the names. I'm pulling up the tweet. You can find that tweet at the Real Akon, at the Real Akon. And basically, we had Brian, Anderson, Sandy. We had a blank jersey or other. And the results also had people voting for Monte, Harold Ramirez, Jorge Alfaro, Miggy Rowe, like we mentioned before. So I just asked that question because, like any real Marlins fan, there was a time and age where you would come and say, all right, you're conflicted. You wanted to get some fresh Marlins gear, but what do you get, right? Because the last time that I remember getting, like, a legit jersey, I was like, all right, let me get this guy. I was hyped up on Carlos Delgado. Carlos Delgado's a stamp. He's going to be a Marlin for years, man. Look at the contract he just signed. Little did I know, you know, he gets shipped away. He becomes a Met. Excuse me, sorry. Yeah, it's okay. So, yeah, like – it's just one of those questions that, all right, your sure bet was always get a blank jersey. And I'm kind of happy, man, looking at it. The South Florida fan base said Brian Anderson. And looking at it, man, Brian Anderson, rightfully so, he should be the leader in this poll. And I'm excited to see that Marlins fans feel this way about Brian Anderson. I mean, how do you feel, Red? Who would you cop? What type of jersey would you cop if you were getting a Marlins jersey? What color?
Man, I got to rock the blue. I know we don't use it in a game, but that's my go-to. I already have it. And let's be honest, 3 years ago, two seasons ago, you put out that same tweet and everybody's telling you, bro, get a blank one. Don't get anybody. Just get a blank one. Don't get one. Get another team. Why are you going to get one? They're just going to trade the players away. And look, the results showed that people, you know, not only knew who Anderson was and Harrison, but, you know, the blank one didn't win, which is surprising to me.
Over 129 votes, over 129 right. Votes on that. 17% Sandy Alcantara.
And he's the one that won?
No, it was Brian Anderson with the whelming 48%.
Nice. Yeah, man. If I had to get a jersey today, I'd want to say Anderson's a safe play. You know, he's been consistent. This was probably going to be his all-star year, you know? I want to see what Sixto does. I love pitching. You know, I used to pitch, so that's definitely where I'd probably get a jersey. You know,
I feel you on Sixto. I just like the thing about Sixto is like Monte, right? It's like he's young, but you don't know if he's gonna keep that number this whole time or he's gonna switch. Like Monte is number 64 right now. Like what number is your guy?
He's not gonna be 64 for long.
Yeah, so I think Sixto's wearing 73 right now, right? So it's like, do you think Sixto's going to wear that? I think you tweeted something about Noche de Sixto. What night did you say? What number did you say?
I don't have a number for him yet, but yeah, Noche de Sixto is definitely mine. He should probably be number six. But we'll touch on that again later. It's just a tough. I don't know. I really don't know what number I'd get, bro. That's a good question. Or what player actually?
Did you go blank? Go blank. Say Froud.
Right now, I have a blank jersey. Don't hold that against me. I got it when the jerseys were revealed. I really don't know. I'd probably get Harrison, maybe Sixto, you know, Edward Cabrera, Jazz for sure. When Jazz is, you know, up here, I'll probably grab one of him. But yeah, that's interesting, man. I'm just excited that Miami finally, you know, didn't go, let's go the blank route. I think that's a win.
I got a couple more questions for you real quick before we close this subject.
Let's go.
All right, so my first question for you is, what do you think about rocking a jersey that's like a player? Or not a player, I'm sorry, a coach, right? You got Don Mattingly, right? This is a storied baseball player, right? He's a stamp, right, in baseball history, right? Donnie Baseball, they love him in New York and in L.A. He was a manager. He's been a little bit of everywhere. Now he's in Miami, and he's leaving his mark. Would you consider rocking out maybe a Don Mattingly jersey? That's my first question for you.
Let me say this. I was the first person to probably say I thought we were going to get rid of Mattingly. I was the first, you know, I disagreed with so many coaching decisions. I disagreed with so many moves. You know, I'm the most vocal anti-shift person on Twitter. But I don't know who tweeted it the other day. They said something like, man, through all this, Mattingly has stayed true. You know, he didn't ask to be released. He didn't void his contract. You know, he didn't try to get out of his contract. You know, and I honestly, thinking about it from that perspective, I gained a lot more respect for him. But as for rocking a coach's jersey, I don't think so, man. That's just not me. Would you?
Don Mattingly. Maybe if he goes into the Hall of Fame, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm there to support him, Fish Family. But I'm not rocking it out myself. I mean, maybe I'll throw it up. I'll throw it up in the man cave. Don't get me wrong. If Marlins want to send that over, I got, you know what I'm saying, DM me. I'll send you over my address.
Funny though, in 2012, when the Marlins did the first rebrand of the franchise in 2012, I remember walking around Dolphin Mall, and they had all these like kiosks. You know, the Marlins hype for 2012 was crazy. And they were selling Ozzie Guillen shirts. And they were selling. Like, it's not like they weren't selling. People, the community flocked to it. And obviously that ended on a sour note. But it's not crazy to think this community would rock a coach. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's see what happens. He gets in the Hall of Fame. We start winning a little bit. I could see the community doing it, but not me.
Yeah, man. And it's so beautiful. Like you said, man, that Mattingly stick through the whole time. Like there was guys that said, hey, man, I'm tired of this whole rebuild phase. I want out. And like you said it, like he stayed true the whole time, bro. Like he went through so much stuff. The Jose tragedy, like he came over from LA thinking, all right, I'm coming to a young team that's on the cusp of playoffs. He had a solid outfield core, you know, then the owner, like, he decided to sell. Thank God he decided to sell, right? And now, like, he's going through the transition of the whole new brand, the whole new look, and you don't know what's going to happen with you. Normally, when somebody new comes in, they bring in their people. And it's great that, you know, yeah, like you said, I myself included, I was thinking, all right, there's a number of days before, you know, it's over for Don Mattingly and Mike Hill. And wow, these guys really just needed some time, some commitment, somebody that really cared about baseball. And thank God for this new administration.
Yeah, and again, like I heard a podcast with former GM, or he was in charge of player personnel. I'm not sure, Dan Jennings. And I think it was on Swings and Misses, which is a great podcast for baseball, guys. Check that out for sure. But I'm not sure where it was on. And hearing the way Dan Jennings spoke, and he said that these guys were handcuffed. Maybe not Don Mattingly, but Michael Hill. Like, a lot of the decisions were handcuffed to what they could do. And he was saying that he didn't want to do a lot of these decisions that we blamed Michael Hill for. And Michael Hill and him, he was saying it, they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do the Chen deal. They didn't want to do all these other signings, all the trades. They didn't want to do some of that stuff. So I think Michael Hill, now we see the real Hill. We see the real, what he could do. Now, don't get me wrong. I still want to see him go out there and be able to, you know, sign one of those big free agents, sign, you know, that closer, make that trade you know, in a regular season in July that gets us, you know, like in 03, that Urbina, you know, get me that closer. That type of stuff we haven't seen. But as far as the draft, and I know there's other people involved, guys, but the draft, you know, getting Villar, signing Dickerson, Aguiar to a cheap deal, Cervelli to a cheap deal. Those are that stuff that we've never seen before. It was either all or nothing for Marlins in the past. It was either sign the vet that's way past his time and give him an atrocious contract like Chen, or, hey, we're going with guys that no one's ever heard of and they're 21 years old. So I'm happy with the direction what Hill's doing now. But yeah, I'm surprised they both stayed as long as they did, and I like what they're doing now more than I've ever liked what they've done in the past.
You like memes?
Yes, sir. Of course.
You seen those memes that are going around right now, that are trending, of like the villain and the real villain.
Yeah, the villain in the movie and the real villain.
Yeah, they gotta make one with Mike Hill and Jeffrey Loria.
I agree.
Marlins fans are starting to figure out. They're starting to see the truth. Like, I remember at one point, I was like, all right, Mike Hill. Like, I remember, like, he first came on the scene. I was like, all right, this guy looks like he's got it together. All right, cool. Mr. Hill, all right. He's pulling moves. He got the promotion. And they got rid of Larry Beinfest. And you were happy for the guy. And then, like, all these bad moves started happening. Like you said, the Wei Yang Chang, the John Bucks. You know, like, it was just like, man.
Michael Moore.
What's going on? Yeah, Mike Morse. Yeah, like, we were investing into the wrong. We were investing when we shouldn't. And, like, the people that we needed to invest, we didn't invest into. So it was just frustrating. And now, like, many years later, like, the truth always comes out. So, Michael Hill, we're sorry if we ever gave you any bad energy. We want you to know Fish Nation loves you. Mr. Jeter, this guy maybe deserves to get a raise. I don't know, we're in a pandemic and everything right now, but you know what I'm saying? Right, guys, keep it up. Keep pushing forward.
How classic Marlins would it have been if Jeter would have come, released Michael Hill, Michael Hill goes to another organization and does what he's doing now, and we'd be looking back like, come on, man.
I mean, I'm sorry to cut you off, but look at the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals have two key guys in their front office organization that helped to contribute. They got Dan Jennings, who they released. Dan Jennings was a front office guy who was also a Marlins manager. And they also have Jack McKeon. So there's guys over there, it's like, wow, they came from the Marlins and they know what winning's about. And kind of tip of your hat to the Washington Nationals, man. They came and they took some fish and it panned out. They brought them a championship to Washington.
Right. It's always a good sign when your opponent, and especially in the division, are signing or hiring your employees. You know, it's always a – so it's a bad thing because you let them go, but it's always a sign that you have the right people somewhere, you know?
Final question to close off the thing. I said it was two questions. I know everybody's probably like, oh, what happened to the second question? The second question was, you said you rocked out the Miami blue. I was looking to buy myself a Miami black. That's the only jersey that I'm missing right now from the current ones. Do you think that they wear the Miami blue in season? Please, man, God.
I don't think this year. I know there's a – I'm not sure how it works with baseball, but I know, like, in football you have to – to ask the NFL in advance when and when you're going to wear your jerseys. I don't know how that works in baseball. I'm assuming it has to be something similar, but I hope they do, man. It just looks so clean. I hope they change the front, though. I think they have to put Marlins in the front. I'm a firm believer that at home you should wear your mascot's name, and on the road you should wear your city. They put Marlins on that front. You wear those on a Sunday with the roof open. They're nice and cool, and I think they look awesome, man, with the white outline, you know, Marlins big on the front. I hope they do. You know, the pictures that are coming out now of all these sim games, they look good. They look clean. You know, speaking of uniforms, the white uniforms with the red accents look badass.
Do you think they have a Miami red jersey in the future? It looks so good on Monte, the red on Miggy Rowe, yeah, BA.
I think they'll do something, maybe like a weekend type of thing. Eventually, I think they'll start playing around a little more. I think they're just trying to get people to forget about that orange. But I like the red. The white uniform, like I was saying, though, Monte was wearing all white, and then he had a red sleeve, red cleats. You know, I think it was like a red shin guard. And it looked clean, man. It looked awesome. I think that's the way they should go, white and red. I really like that, man. But as for the blue jersey, yeah, I think they'll wear it soon in a game.
Awesome. Oh, move it on.
All right. Let's jump into the little weekend recap here. Just quick thoughts. I'm going to throw out some topics. first one is here is Marlins get two TV. Wow, that was a tongue twister. I'm sorry. Marlins get two national TV televised games. What are your thoughts on that? Only two, but hey, we got something, right?
Two national TV games on Fox Sports Florida. But hey, I'm a little upset. It's like, dang, we got to see the Atlanta Braves again. But at the same time, man, thank God we get to see some baseball. You know, no disrespect to Ronald Acuna and the rest of the Atlanta Braves. Not that I don't want to see them. They're our division rivals, and I think we see them plenty of times this year. So I think we got to be a little bit cautious. I mean, you can't really be cautious. You can't tell these guys, all right, don't go all out and don't show them all the weapons. I mean, these guys are really trying to get ready 100% for Philadelphia. So I just wish we – I heard rumors that it could have been like New York or Boston, and then we got hit with the wild card, and now we got the Braves. So they're going to Truist – what is it, Truist Field now? I thought it was SunTrust Park last year, but now it's Truist Field. I don't know how it works.
Not sure, man. All right, second thing here. Joe Fusaro on Twitter saying that it pretty much looks like that Nider looks to be the next starter in line. Is that surprising that it's not Sixto or someone like Edward Cabrera? Or are you in line with that you think Nider is next?
I think if Joe's reporting that, I think that's kind of opening the door to maybe somebody getting traded in the near future. You look at this rotation. The rotation has plenty of trade candidates. People don't want to hear it, but if you want to get something, you got to trade something. And there's guys in this rotation that can help their pieces that involve Sandy, Caleb, Jose Ureña. Who knows? Maybe somebody wants a Yamamoto. You know, nobody could have said that they were going to trade away Zach Gallen. Here's Jazz Chisholm. So, you know. Like I said, if you want something, you got to give something. And if the Marlins have something, they have plenty of pitching depth. But right now, the Marlins have to evaluate how and when they're going to trade. Right? They got to wait at least 15 games, evaluate what's going to happen with that squad. And after those first 15 games, we're at 7-7. We're at 8-7. All right, let's go for it. We're not, you know what I mean? It'll come a moment where the clubs are going to have to decide, all right, we're going for it. No, we're not going for it. Let's get rid of the vets. Let the young guys play. Maybe we hit fire, and it's just beautiful, and we go on this magical run, and we trade a future prospect just because we need another bat. Somebody got hurt, or maybe we need another key piece in the rotation, like a real horse, like a true number one, you know? Who am I to tell you that if you call the Indians and the Indians say, hey, listen, you want a Jose Ramirez? Okay, Jose Ramirez can possibly, hypothetically speaking, could come to the Marlins, right? And you got to give something up. Who are you going to give up? You got to give a piece of your pitching. You got to give them maybe you give them a Sandy. Maybe you got to give them a Yamamoto as well. You know, who else you got to give? You got to give a position player. Maybe you insert a Garrett Cooper, a Jesus Aguilar. If you can make that happen for a tier one type player, then you definitely go out and you make that move because it's going to make you a championship caliber team. No disrespect to those guys. Those are all hypothetical trades, guys. But it's just, you got to think about it. At one point, for those people that play MLB The Show, you know what I'm saying? People like that know there comes a point where you got to make moves. Like, I love all these guys and I hope that we all become champions. All together, all these guys on the 60-man pool, but they're pieces that come and go, guys, and they're all rotating pieces. And it really becomes that's where Mike Hill comes into play. So
right.
He's got to have some tough decisions to make.
Right, and I think you know, Joe saying it kind of – it's almost a tease, but I see it as a little – like, isn't it weird that seeing how close, you know – has Sixto pitched at all at Marlins Park during these sim games? You know, he didn't pitch in spring training. There was concerns about his weight. It looks like he's leaned out. But why isn't our number one prospect, who by all accounts is MLB ready, being talked about? I mean, why isn't he next in line? Is he battling injuries that we just don't know about?
If you look at Nader, like – last year, if you look at the spring training numbers he put up, I believe it was the last game of the spring training of last year, 2019, the last game of spring training, believe it was against the Cardinals. I was there covering that game. And he pitched a hell of a game. And I was like, wow, okay. Or wait, was that Nadar or was that Gallen? I might be confused.
It was Gallen.
Okay, it was Gallen. Well, yeah, anyway. Yeah. Sorry. It completely destroys where I was going with that. Sorry, guys.
It happens.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think Sixto's ready. I think they're just being extra cautious with him. You know, I think with him, they're monitoring service time. I don't think it's one of those situations that they don't want him in the bullpen. They got to see what they have with the guys they have up there now. Hopefully one of them, not hopefully, but you know what I'm talking about, like one of them gets traded, an opening happens, and Sixto just plugs right in and never leaves that rotation. Speaking of rotation. Sandy has the ball today in another sim game, 10 days before spring training. I'm assuming he'll throw in 5 days again. And then it looks like he's lined up to be the starter. Were you surprised by that, or are you expecting Sandy?
They already announced it, right?
No, it's not officially announced, but that's just the way it's lining up. Fish Stripes is basically saying, you know, a little prediction. Hinted at it.
Him or Sandy, if it were up to me, Sandy or Caleb, if it were up to me to pick between those two guys. But, like, a lot of people are forgetting about Jose Ureña. Like, Jose Ureña was the opening day starter the past couple of years. Like, I just think Jose Ureña is an interesting piece because it's a guy that Don Mattingly has a luxury of either having in the rotation or putting in the bullpen. So,
right, and with Jose, it's always been, you know, he's a dark horse. He's either going to give you 7 innings of stellar pitching, or he's going to get, you know, pulled in the second inning after 3 hit batters and 4 solos. I think he'll end up in the bullpen eventually or traded. I don't see him as a fixture in the rotation, but that's something the season will show us. Next here on a little weekend recap, it was tweeted that Dickerson's basically starting in left, Villar in center, and Harold in right, which basically goes all the way back to our Twitter poll. They're basically saying that those are the regulars. Besides the two, I could have guessed Dickerson and left, Villar and center. Are you surprised that it's Ramirez being basically speculated to be the opening day starter in right field? Or maybe are you hurt that it's – I mean, you already said you didn't think it was going to be Monty. But did you think Ramirez?
I'm actually happy for Harold Ramirez that he's going to get this opening day nod in right field. The reason that I'm saying this is because Harold Ramirez has an advantage over these other guys on the roster, all right? He's coming from Winter League Baseball, all right? If it weren't for Winter League Baseball, Harold Ramirez might possibly not be in Major League Baseball. Winter League Baseball in Venezuela and Dominican Republic, all these countries that have Winter League Baseball, it's like a tune-up. It's like a trampoline for players in that market to make it to the big leagues. And like people really like, if you haven't had the chance to go check out some Winter League Baseball, do yourself the favor during the winter. If you can make it happen, look it up online. It's 2020, ladies and gentlemen, so you should be able to find anything online. And man, he has the advantage because it's a short season. It's 60 games. You know, he knows that he has to perform right off the rip, like Gary Cooper said, like we mentioned earlier. And I feel like it's an advantage over these younger guys. There's some guys, some vets that they're going to have problems going right out of the gate. they're going to stumble right out of the gate, possibly because, hey, I didn't have enough time. I didn't get enough rips in the during the batting practice. And that's valid. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's different. Not everybody's going to come out of the gate batting 100, you know, like going off and just having a thousand game four for four. Everybody, it's not going to happen. There's going to be guys that are going to struggle. They're going to go for four for five and strike out. And we're just going to question, how long is the leash going to be? You know, how long is the leash going to be? Because we have so many options.
Right. And I think with Ramirez, this goes back to episode one with us, where we spoke about who are those players that could be traded this season. And he fits that type of player. Low cost, you're not going to get a top 10, top 15 prospect. A team will want to acquire a guy like Harold Ramirez. Let's say he comes out of the chute hitting 260, 270. You know, he's spraying the ball all over the place, surprising speed. And somebody calls, you know, the Marlins are out of it. Let's say they start 5-20. The Marlins are out of it. They call.
Jesus, 5-20.
I'm just saying, he's not, whatever. He's not going to demand a top prospect. He is not a part of the future. We have guys that are a part of the future knocking on the door, like Monte. Unfortunately, Brinson hasn't earned it, but we got to see what – I mean, I'm not going to say we got to see what we have with Brinson. I think we've seen enough. But I'd rather him have the at-bats in a season that doesn't matter than Harold. And this is all hypothetical, guys. I'm not saying this season doesn't matter. I'm saying in the scenario that we're out of it. I think he's a perfect trade candidate, like a Miguel Rojas. And I'm glad he's going to get the at-bats early. He deserved it. He earned it. And I'm good with it. Next piece of news over the weekend, guys, or maybe the last hour, depending when you heard this. The Braves announced an interesting signing, and they have agreed, pending physical, on a one-year deal with Yasiel Puig.
Hey, Atlanta, I see you soon, baby.
Does it change the division? Or are we still sticking with the same thing? What do you think about that? And does it? How much does it affect that lineup?
Okay, first and foremost, bienvenido a the National League East, Newca Michaels, a.k.a. Yasiel Puig, right? What do I call him? Newca Michaels, the lady from the TV. Yeah, people that watch Spanish TV news know what I'm talking about, all right? Yasiel Puig is all about show. This guy's always going. It's all about him. And it's kind of funny that he ends up being a Brave, like, because it's gonna build that rivalry even more, right? When the Marlins face with the Braves, like, Yasiel Puig, he's an interesting player. He brings a lot of hype. But it was funny when they asked him in free agency, he said, hey, why don't you sign with the Marlins? He's like, nah, first and foremost, they got to pay me a lot more to play with the Marlins because the fans are always going to be heckling, man. They're going to be heckling. The Cuban fans are going to be heckling me because they want me to be performing all-star numbers all the time. And what do you expect? Not just because we're Marlins fans. Any fan that you go to, any fan base expects you to go and be a freaking all-star player. Not even an all-star player. At least give 100% of whatever you got. You're a major league player, man. Whatever you got in the tank, you coming over here, you're trying to help us win a chip. What are you talking about? Oh, you don't want to go to Miami because it's going to be too much pressure. Too much pressure. You don't want to be a champion? That's not the type of player that we want. So Braves, y'all can have that, because if anybody knows about going to the playoffs and choking, besides the Rays, it's the Braves.
What I find interesting about the signing here, Alex, is wasn't it like 3 years ago that the Braves were Mr., you know, play the game the right way? You know, when you hit a home run, even if it's a walk-off, put your head down around the bases. You know, don't pimp home runs. You know, don't do all that extra stuff. And then all of a sudden, Braves fans forget all of the crap, for lack of a better word, I was about to say, they gave the Marlins in 2016. And now, you know, their best players are these fun hashtag let the kids play players. And now they go and sign Puig, who's like the captain of let the kids play, who's going to get in people's faces, who's going to pimp every home run, who's going to want, you know, that at-bat in the bottom of the ninth. And if he hits it out or he wins the game, that bat is going into the seventh row of the stands. So it's funny how Brave fans all of a sudden forget that. Next topic here, Alex. What you went to a couple sim games this weekend. What did you see? Was there any player that stood out to you? And what's the environment at the park like there?
And so let me just tell you that I saw Pablo Lopez and Jose Ureña go at it, and they looked really, really sharp, man. It was so fun to see.
Tell me about Pablo.
Pablo, man, he was looking nasty. His fastball, his two-seamer looked pretty good. I was watching from the third base side, so it's pretty hard to judge what it was. I was watching the speed. You can obviously tell the difference between a fastball and a curveball. But Jesus Aguilar was quoted saying that, man, Pablo had Cy Young stuff. And the score reflected a 4-2 final. And I was excited to see Jose Ureña, man. Jose Ureña, he brought his A game too. He was pretty sharp. He was liking what he was seeing out of Pablo Lopez. And it was just fun to really see these guys go back to the basic element of the game, to the essentials of the game, to like square one. It felt like it was like Little League all over again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was competition. Like, whenever you were trying to make that high school baseball team, you're like, all right, man, all these guys are out here. Like, there's 60 players, whatever. Not all 60 were on at Marlins Park, but you know what I'm saying? That the excitement, what's the word I'm looking for? The competitiveness. That's what I'm looking for. The competitiveness, bro, was just, it was flowing. It was in the air. And you can hear guys like heckling the umpire. The umpire, it was just so funny. He's the Marlins press public relations media guy. And it was just so fun to see how the Marlins were heckling him. Like, he was calling some strikes, like some questionable strikes. But at the same time, those guys were just ready out there to just rip it. And so you guys can understand me, the people from my generation, it felt like playing MVP baseball. You remember MVP baseball, Red?
Of course.
So when you were playing the batting mode, right? When you were just chipping, like you were just batting off, and you were trying to hit like the golf cart driving by, and like you were just trying to hit like different targets. It felt like that. You can hear the balls clank. You know, I'm a little bit jealous of our fellow reporter, our colleague Alex Krutchek from FishStripes.com. He was lucky enough to catch like all the home runs that Marlins have hit so far during all these sim games. I was lucky enough to check out, you know, Jesus Sanchez and Lewin Diaz, man. Like, Lewin Diaz is such a big guy. Like, he's like the tallest first baseman I can remember, like a good one. Like, he's like a left-handed Derek Lee. You know what I mean? Like, if that's like a reference I can make, that's the vibe he gave me. Like, he was just slick fielding.
Well, he's been compared to Carlos Delgado, so.
So yeah, that's a great reference. Like, you're compared to Carlos Delgado. Wow. So, right. You know, I was happy to see him. Jesus Sanchez got a couple of rips. You know, we saw Corey Dickerson. Corey Dickerson's approach was definitely out there. He was trying to see what the zone was. He was getting a feel for the strike zone. So, we saw John Birdie on the base pass. We saw Jonathan Villar. And Jonathan Villar is an interesting guy because he's a guy that he had 40 stolen bases last year, and it's a guy that you get excited, right? I got excited. I was like, all right, Jonathan Villar, you know, thank you so much, Orioles. At his career high, I believe it's 62 stolen bases. And I was like, wow, this guy's talking about coming into the season back when we were thinking it was 162 games. He's talking about he wants to break the Marlins record for stolen bases. He's talking about maybe I'll get 90 stolen bases. Like, whoa, that's a big number, dude. But hey, that would have been fun to see. And, you know, now I see him, like, he's going up there, and he's not like a D. Gordon or a Juan Pierre. He's not that skinny guy, but, like, man, this is just a fun guy to watch. Like, it's an interesting approach. Like, I don't know how this guy steals second base. Like, I don't know. Like, he just catches everybody off guard. Like, I'm not saying he's like a Pablo Sandoval. You know what I mean? He's not a big like that, but it's like, wow, this guy's just a gamer. And like, it just reminds me of my childhood. Like, one of the things the coach would always say is, like, el que es más vivo siempre gana.
Right. And, guys, a little, not breaking news, but a little fun tidbit I just came across here on Twitter. Fish on the Farm, you can find him at Marlins Miners, is reporting that the Marlins Park is actually pumping crowd noise into today's simulation, sim game. So that's an interesting little piece of information there. We'll talk about that on a later show, but just wanted to get that out there for you guys to know that it looks like that's coming, guys. I don't know if you guys have been watching the MLS games, but it is awkward. It literally felt like I was watching two teams playing in a public park while watching the last Inter-Miami game. Alex, we already touched on where we think Monty's going to be. We talked on the Marlins stolen bases. So I think it's time for our world-famous game of this or that. Around the Horn edition. You ready?
Do it.
This or that.
We're at first base. Who you got? Aguiar, Cooper, or Lewin?
Going Lewin.
I agree. 100%. No doubt. Second base. Eason Diaz or Villar?
I'm going Eason.
Give me Eason, but I'm going to say this. He's on an interesting leash with me. He didn't exactly perform as I thought he would last year. It was his first year, but I want to see him tear the cover off the ball. I want to see him come out hot. And I
got to give him a break.
I know. And I never, but I want to
break his trajectory, his track record in minor league has always said that the guy needs maybe like a season and a half at that level.
Right, he's always slow off the bat in a new level. But it's time, brother. It's time. Own that position and never look back. That's what I want to see. Shortstop, opening day, Mickey Rowe or Jazz?
Opening day? Oh, this is opening day edition. Okay, I'm going Mickey Rowe.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there with Mickey Rowe. Obvious, guys, if you've been paying attention, Jazz has not really been there. I think recently he reported. I don't think he's going to have enough time. We have 10 days to opening day, so give me Mickey Rowe. Around the Horn, third base, this is a pretty easy one. Anderson or Eddie Alvarez?
Definitely B.A. B.A. deserves that C on his chest, on his Marlins jersey. I know Mickey Rowe, everybody talks about Mickey Rowe, but I'm talking about long-term. Brian Anderson, team captain.
I agree. I mean, the Eddie Alvarez story is interesting. It's fun. It's cool. I hope there's a spot for him. I hope he gets a spot somewhere. I think he had another hit today, but this is Andy's spot. And never put him in the outfield again. I know he's a plus outfielder. I love his arm, but we need a lockdown third base and never look back. Left field, Ramirez or Dickerson?
Oof. Ramirez or Dickerson, huh? We got to go with Dickerson. I mean, we're paying him, bro. He's got to, you know what I'm saying? This is the guy that Phillies fans and Pittsburgh fans were raving about. So we got to see what he's buying. I got to definitely trust the front office.
Yeah, now with the new news, you know, that Ramirez is most likely starting in right. But I agree, Dickerson in left over Ramirez. Center field, Villar or Brinson?
Villar.
No contest. You know, Brinson, man, we had high hopes. There's still like that one little drop, but you got to earn it back, man. You got to be Mr. Spring Training, you know, throughout the season. Right field, Monte or Coop?
Oof. I'm going Coop. I need my vets to step it up. I need my vets to come in and really light that fire under their butt, how Coop is talking about. And if the vets ain't doing it, young boys are up.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to say this. Mattingly did come out and say that no matter what position that Monte's playing, he will be the best defender on the field. I agree. And I think if we could get Monte in right, Cooper at DH, and Lewin at first base. And that obviously means Aguiar is the man out. I'll have no issue with that. I won't even blink an eye. That's probably not going to happen. By all accounts, Aguiar is hitting the cover off the ball, so he most likely will be the starting first baseman or starting DH. So give me Monte just for the sake of argument, but, man, I hope Coop stays healthy and you know, and leads us to wherever this team is going this year.
Another guy people that forget about, Matt Joyce. We need Matt Joyce and Gary Cooper to really turn it up, man, and get some value. Because these guys.
I haven't seen any reports of Matt Joyce. I know he's on the roster, but guys, like we said, episode one, we're not going to speculate on who has what, who tested what. But Matt Joyce has, it's been obvious, he hasn't been around the team. I don't know if this weekend he came back. But by now, you know, it's pretty obvious. We believe, you know, these guys got to get healthy, if, you know, family first, as always. So Matt Joyce, wherever he actually signed my nephew's baseball. I'm actually looking at the ball right now. But Matt Joyce, man, I hope you're healthy. I hope everything works out. And he's one of those guys, man, that you would love to see on the team. But
Matt, remember what I told you on Instagram, bro. You got to come make your debut with the stash, like the Don Mattingly the stash from back in the day, and then rock it out in the clubhouse. And then you guys go on a crazy win streak, and then you get a couple guys on board, and everybody's just rocking out the Don Mattingly stash, baby. And all of a sudden, the Marlins are on a 10-game win streak. Let's make it happen.
Well, let me ask you, just since we already finished with the this or that, 10 games, I mean, we're 10 days away. Even if Matt Joyce comes back now, will he be ready for opening day?
No, he's not going to be ready for opening day. Right. He's going to be a reinforcement, like game 17, game 20, game 23, Matt Joyce, boom, key base hit, pinch hit situation. Okay. You know what I mean? He's going to get that. I feel like that's the vibe that I'm getting from Matt Joyce. He's going to be like a great pinch hitter, and guys are going to be like, yo, we need a pinch hitter during this playoff run. And if Marlins are in it, I don't know if you're going to give it up. But if they're not in it, hey, you know what I'm saying? I'll accept the call. And, hey, even if they're in it and maybe you got a tough call to make, pull the trigger, man. Look what Sergio Romo pulled. We got a freaking Lewin Diaz. Thank you, Sergio. Sergio, come back.
I don't understand that trade at all. I'll never understand that trade. We Marlin the Twins. You know, we made – I don't – thank you. Twins. It was the Twins, right? Yeah. Thank you. All right, Alex. Well, that wraps up today's show, but we're not going to leave the fans empty-handed. Guys, if you made it this far, you're about to be given an opportunity that is fun and, quite frankly, delicious. In a couple minutes, we're going to be asking two trivia questions here. And the first fan to answer the question correctly and DM it to Alex, and we'll plug in the Twitter with the correct answer, wins a 6-pack of the Biscayne Brewery Marlins Lager, which we will deliver locally. If not, we'll ship it to you and we'll figure that out, as well as a guest spot on a future episode of Marlins Barbecue. All right. So without further ado, this is a 2-part answer, so pay attention. Who was the first Marlin to hit 3 home runs in a single game? And who were they playing against? So again, the first question, write it down, guys. Who was the first Marlin to hit 3 home runs in a game? And who were they playing against? And the second question, you got to answer both, is who was the first Marlin to throw a no-hitter? And who were they playing against? All right, guys. So you got to get 4. Each question has 2 parts. DM it to Alex. Alex, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at TheRealAcon. That's TheRealAcon on Twitter. And make sure you guys go and follow us on TikTok at TalkBaseball. We're at over 600 followers already, guys. Thank you so much. Go out there and enjoy that feel-good Marlins content. Have a good laugh. I hope that you guys hit me up. Be that first one to get into my DM once you hear this. Hopefully you heard this early. If you heard it late, hopefully nobody's figured it out yet. But you're going to get yourself some Marlins Lager, baby. You're going to check out that German-style lager. All right, you guys are going to enjoy it. It's an interesting taste. It's not your, you know what I'm saying, your regular wet down, you know, beer that you got to take like 4 or 5 of them down to like feel a buzz or anything. Nah, this is a good beer, a quality beer that you're going to enjoy. Good time at Marlins Park or at your house or wherever you're at.
Fantastic, brother. By the way, Fish on the Farm is reporting that Eason Diaz just hit a leadoff triple, stand-up triple. So that's what I want to see. Prove me wrong. All right, guys. As always, I'm Red Garcia. You can find me on Twitter, Red_Garcia. My partner, Alex Contreras. He already said his Twitter handle. Guys, make sure you're checking on Fish Stripes. Follow Fish Stripes on Twitter. They are the best news. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably already do.
So check out Fish Stripes, some really fun stuff on there.
All right. We love you guys. We hope you're staying safe and wear your mask so that we can be in the park. Be good, guys.
Que están